Last Sunday, I stated that there is a reason for the stark differences which you can see in the way Christians live their lives. And I'm talking about the differences that you can see in people with regard to victory and defeat in their daily lives. I don't honestly know, maybe a better way is to say it like this, I don't really understand how people can live in a mentality that embraces defeat. They're always down. They're always discouraged. I don't understand that, quite honestly. I don't think that way. I suppose it would be correct to say that I'm naturally a positive person. Always have been. I don't like to be sad. I have no use for depression. I'm not being critical of anybody that does go through depression. Not at all. It's just that, frankly, I have a hard time wrapping my head around some of the situations that I see right here in Tulsa. And they're all over the world. You know what I'm talking about. The way people live their lives. And nothing ever goes right. It's just problem, 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 issue, issue, issue. And that is their normal. If I was in their shoes, I'd change something. I'd do something different. I just don't quite relate to that, is all that I'm saying. But I do understand why it happens. And it has everything in the world to do with what you understand and what you do with, what you use of the Word of God. And if you don't know the Word of God, have the Word of God in your heart, and put it to use in your life, then, yeah, I could understand how life could turn into one giant mess, a big, big problem. There are a lot of people who've heard a lot of Scripture, but apply very little of it to their lives. So there are lots of Christians in trouble. Now, I don't want to keep going down that path, but I want to add something to that. Those of you who heard my last message will also recall that toward the end of that message, I shared what I referred to as key number 20 in the list of the keys to the kingdom of God. And that's what I'm talking about, is the keys to the kingdom. The big topic, the kingdom belongs to us. Starts out, the kingdom belongs to the Father. Then the Father gave us the kingdom. Then the Father has given us keys to the kingdom. So again, not being critical, but I look at the lives of people that I encounter just every so often, and they're Christians, they're going to heaven. But their Christian life, well, maybe this will help. It's kind of like somebody gives you a new car, but they don't give you the keys. They're saved, they're going to heaven, but they don't know anything about the keys to the kingdom. They're in the kingdom is in them, but they're not benefiting from it. I grew up singing a lot of songs about the future. And now, every now and then, I get to picking on songs, and I get a varied reaction to that. Some of you have no idea what I'm talking about because you didn't grow up like I did. You grew up in a Catholic church where they didn't sing these songs, or some other church where they didn't sing these songs. But when I was just a kid, I got rather frustrated with everything being put off till heaven. I don't know if that frustrates you or not, but it really, well, frustrated was a nice word. It just irritated. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. But leave me alone now, I'm mad and I'm sad. And I must be glad because I ain't changing nothing. And I would sing those songs because I didn't know any better. I made up the last part. Those of you who know the song know that. All right? But the whole time I'm singing them, I'm thinking, what about now? I'm a kid. I got my whole life ahead of me. What do you mean Jesus is coming back today? I haven't lived yet. Oh, you're in trouble. You want Jesus to put off his return? No, 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 no. You missed the point. The point is, why should I live the way people live all around us and just put all the good stuff off until we get to heaven? I don't find that in the Bible. I have yet to read the scripture that says you got to go through hell to get to heaven. Because it's not there. It's not there. But again, what's at the core of this is people not understanding right now the kingdom of God is active on this earth. The kingdom of God is within you, and God has given you multiple keys that you can use to participate in this kingdom. And so this key number 20, that means I've talked about 19 before this one, that is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And just so it is clear, there has not been anything in particular that's been important about the sequence or the order in which I have given you all of these keys. I've just simply shared them in a way which I consider to be the easiest way to understand them. Also, don't let it confuse you when I place great importance on this particular key, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. In fact, it is one of the most important keys to the kingdom of God. And by the time I get done talking about it, you'll be convinced, believe me, if you're not already. This is not my opinion. This was clearly the thinking behind what Jesus said to his disciples just before he went back to heaven. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. And being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you've heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Take notice of the fact this was a command. It was a command. Jesus commanded them to not leave Jerusalem until after they had been baptized in the Holy Ghost. Now, since I've waded out in some rather dicey matters here, it's important for me to be clear about what I'm saying to you. Jesus never told the disciples, you must be filled with the Holy Ghost in order to go to heaven. He never said that. Donna posted this little thing on Facebook here a while back. I think I've got it right. It's somebody asked the question, do you have to be filled with the Holy Ghost to go to heaven? The response was, honey, you need the Holy Ghost to go to Walmart. It's true. 213,000 responses to that. Yeah. Must be a bunch of people know about the Holy Ghost. No, it could be. They just know about Walmart. Take it either way you want it. Okay. But you don't have to be filled with the Holy Ghost to go to heaven. But on the other hand, I believe it is safe to say that Jesus was telling his disciples, you are going to be going to heaven sooner than you had anticipated if you don't wait for the day of Pentecost and become filled with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is what is going to make it possible for you to survive what you will go through after I go back to heaven. Read the book of Acts. You'll see it very clearly. What got them through all of that stuff was the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, Jesus was saying, will also make it possible for you to complete the assignment I have given you to do. Now, I'm just raising one doctrinal issue after another that's tied to what I'm saying. And we could just start wandering off down this rabbit trail, that rabbit trail, and never get back. And because I think this is so important, I'm just going to hit these rather quickly and just move right on. I've been asked more than once, do I have to receive the Holy Ghost? Is it necessary? My response, it is absolutely necessary. Jesus certainly made it clear it is necessary. He commanded them. That says necessary, does it not? Now, why wouldn't you want to receive the Holy Ghost? Could only be because you don't understand. You don't know enough about it. But I realized a long time ago, it is not the Holy Ghost that bothers people. It's some of the stuff people do who have received the Holy Ghost. That's the real rub right there. But just understand this, it's not necessary for you to act a certain way when you receive the Holy Ghost. You don't need to act like some other person that you have seen do something. Just be you. There's no two people in this audience that are the same. Aren't you glad? It's true, there's no two of us that are the same. Therefore, why would we expect that we would all have exactly the same response, exactly the same reaction? First of all, when you receive the Holy Ghost. Secondly, when you speak in tongues. After that, whenever the Holy Ghost touches you, whenever you're moved upon by the Holy Ghost, when the Holy Ghost falls on you, whatever expression you want to use, why would you think that everybody would act exactly the same? Because we're not the same. Just be you. What matters when we receive the Holy Ghost is not what we do or how we react. What matters is what the Holy Ghost does in us, through us, what He enables us to do. This is not about our reactions. It is about His power. Now, I've been asked many times, how long do I have to wait after I get saved to receive the Holy Ghost? I'm giving you questions that I've literally been asked. I've been doing this a long, long time. That gives room for a lot of questions. How long do I have to wait? The disciples had to wait, so I guess we do too. Wrong! I grew up around people who believed in tarrying for the Holy Ghost. And this would go on for days and days and days and weeks and even years. It was a very religious thing. I'm tarrying for the Holy Ghost. That's about the way they'd say it. How long have you been tarrying? 23 years. Let's just do a little simple math here. It was 40 days from the resurrection until the ascension, the day Jesus went back to heaven. But keep in mind, it was only 10 days after the ascension until the day of Pentecost. They only waited 10 days. So if you've been waiting more than 10 days, you're overdue. Okay? Fact of the matter is, you don't even have to wait one day, or 1 hour, or 1 minute. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. The Passion Translation does an excellent job with this. And a great footnote is there. So from the Passion Translation, on the day Pentecost was being fulfilled, all the disciples were gathered into one place. The footnote says, or came to be fulfilled. The Greek word means to fill completely or to be fulfilled. That means everything about the Feast of Pentecost had been leading up to this moment. No more waiting. Everything that needed to happen before the Holy Ghost came to earth had been completed. It was fulfilled. There's nothing left to wait on. I heard a story this week about a lady somewhere in the general area who had been waiting for several years trying to receive the Holy Ghost. She just needed instructions, and when she got those instructions, she received immediately. That's God's plan. It is not about how long it takes you to receive or how long you wait to receive. It's about the power. I've had people say to me, does this mean that I did not get everything I needed when I got saved? You got everything you needed to go to heaven. You cannot get any more saved. But to fulfill your part in what God wants you to do in the kingdom of God, you need the Holy Ghost. You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. It is not about whether or not you can get by without the Holy Ghost. It's about the power. Then it always comes around to speaking in tongues. Do I have to speak in tongues? Now, I probably just need to separate this one out and spend a little time teaching on speaking in tongues. So for now, I'm just going to say, any person who has a problem with speaking in tongues simply does not understand what the tongues are all about. Once you understand, it's not a big deal, not a big issue. This is not a criticism, but it is a lack of being taught. It is a lack of understanding. Now brace yourself. Some of you especially, it is a common misconception that only people who speak in tongues have the Holy Ghost. I'm going to read that again. It is a common misconception that only people who speak in tongues have the Holy Ghost. I really need time to talk about that one some more, and I will talk about that one some more. Not today. The use of this key to the kingdom of God unlocks many, many things which I'm going to talk to you about. But for now, I want to say the Holy Ghost is about much, much more than tongues. And I feel pretty comfortable saying that here because this is the only church I know anything about that for the past 5 years plus has started every single service by asking everybody to pray for a few minutes in their heavenly language, opening every service by speaking in tongues. That's radical. And I love it. So I'm obviously not speaking against tongues. I must be saying something else. I'm going to tag behind that, to be continued. You see, tongues is only one of the many aspects of this important key to the kingdom. It is really about the power. Now, I promise to come back to this and talk about it some more. But have you picked up on a theme that's running through this message? It is about the power. It is about the power. Acts chapter 1, verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but you shall receive power. The Father hath put in his own power, but you shall receive power. The Father hath put in his own power, but you shall receive power. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. That's why I've said it over and over and over and over and over. It is about the power. Now notice the close proximity in the use of the word power, which appears twice in this message. When they asked Jesus if he was going to restore the kingdom of Israel, Jesus told them, the power to control the times and the seasons, God the Father has retained that power. There ought to be a scripture that's going through your head. I'm just waiting to see if things are clicking there. Let me say that again. The power to control the times and the seasons, God the Father has retained that power. There's an Old Testament scripture that I was hoping you would pick up on. As long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest, winter, summer, cold, heat will never cease. Too bad, global warming. All this nonsense they're putting out about all these things that are going to happen. No. The power to control the times and the seasons, God the Father has retained that power. Now let me be a little clearer. Only God the Father decides when things are going to happen. From birth until death, there are a lot of things we all wish we had control over, especially this thing called time. Some things I would love to speed up. Some things I would love to slow down. But no matter how much I may try to affect the timing of things, it is clear, it is obvious, it is out of my control. I do not have the power to control time, and neither do you. Little side note, because I know that God uses some of you in prophecy, God uses some of you in tongues interpretation, I know that. And the number of you that that's happening to will increase. One, two, three. Come on. You ought to expect to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. But be very, very, very careful about giving somebody a word and setting a time on it. That's one of the most dangerous things you can do. And if you tell somebody, this is going to happen in 3 days, you better be sure God said that, because you don't get to set the time. Just remember that one. Log that one, okay? Oh, but I don't like these words that it's about to happen, or soon, or before you know it. I don't like those. That's too general. I want to tell them exactly when. Then be sure you heard exactly when. Because God controls the time. Now, here's this phrase that I've dwelt on for a moment. God the Father has retained this power. And then Jesus placed another kind of power in juxtaposition to the Father's power over time. Jesus was telling His disciples, get your attention off of the things you cannot control and be filled with the Holy Ghost. There is a power that comes with receiving the Holy Ghost, which will make it possible for you to do the things you cannot do without the Holy Ghost. And when you get this key to the kingdom of God, this key called the Holy Ghost, you get access to that power. I remember a day when our automobiles had more than one key. I even remember vehicles that you had to push a button to start them. Some of you are saying, yeah, I got one of those now. You think it's a new thing. Well, I had an old Chevrolet that you started with a button. It was on the floor. You stepped on it with your foot and started the motor. I remember that. I've had cars that you had to have 3 separate keys. I never could figure this out. You had one key that would unlock the doors in the trunk. You had another key that would unlock the glove box and maybe a center console, and then you had to have a third key to work the ignition. And even when I had those cars, I think, come on, guys, this is simple. Why do I need 3 keys? Can't you make one that'll do all of this stuff? Somebody finally heard, I guess. Because now, one key does it all. How many of you got one of those cars you can start with your key in your pocket? I got one of those. I hate the thing. I don't like it. It's the only car I've ever had that I tried to get out of with the motor still running. Park it. I forgot to push the stupid button. And it don't like that. You got to go back and undo everything. If you roll the window down, if you open the door, I don't know, you know, whatever you did, you got to undo all of that or it's going to yell at you. There's just something wrong with that. This is supposed to be a car. It's supposed to do what I want it to do, not tell me what to do. Now, my point is, the kingdom of God is set up more like those older kind of vehicles, multiple keys. It takes a bunch of them. If you think about it like this, those older cars, if you had one key, you could get in the car, you could get in the trunk, but you couldn't go anywhere. That's the only key you got. You couldn't really benefit from that car unless you had the ignition key. But on the other hand, if you just had the ignition key and you didn't have the key to the car, to the door, well, you just got a problem. If you did not have that key to the ignition, you did not have access to the power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Being baptized in the Holy Ghost gives you access to the power. The Holy Ghost is the key. I know that I am talking to a room full of people who have already received the Holy Ghost. That's why I'm talking to you about the power and not about the Holy Ghost. I'm wanting you to be more conscious of the power that you have. I'm wanting you to be more aware of the power that is there, that is available to you. Jesus had given His disciples all sorts of keys to the kingdom of God. He had instructed them to do a lot of different things with those keys. I have used this passage again and again and again and again. I'm going to use it today. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 through 18. And He said unto them, "Go ye in all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In My name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." And Jesus wanted to be clear, the power to do these things comes from being baptized in the Holy Ghost. How many of you have been baptized in the Holy Ghost? Let me see your hand. I think that's everybody in the building. I'm not looking super carefully, but I think it is. There may be one or two that haven't been. Then that means you've got this power I'm talking about. Say it out loud. I have the power. Say it again. Say it again. Say it again. Say it again. Now put it this way. I have the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is the key that unlocks the power. There was a day when Oral Roberts was alive and lived in this town. A lot of people knew he had the power. There was a day when Kenneth E. Hagin was alive and lived in this town. Everybody knew Kenneth E. Hagin had the power. There was a day when T.L. Osborne lived in the sound. And everybody knew T.L. Osborne had the power. And today we live in this town. Yes, you do. Because you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. The whole issue becomes, what are you going to do with this power? Thousands, maybe millions of people who have been filled with the Holy Ghost have never used the power they have been given, never used it to help anybody. Not leveling a criticism. I'm issuing a challenge. This old world needs you. It needs you to be willing to release that power God has placed within you. Well, I don't feel like I've got any power. I haven't found that verse either. And after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you will feel like you have power. Doesn't say that. Well, I don't see any evidence in my life that I've got any power. How can I know that? I don't find a verse that says that suddenly after you have received the Holy Ghost, well, then you'll be aware of all this power and everything. It's not there. We go do what He told us to do. Cast out devils. What if it don't come out? Cast it out again. What if it don't come out? Keep on. Don't quit. What if the thing starts talking to me? Tell it, shut up. Amen. You don't have any business carrying on a conversation with a demon. Everything they say is a lie. So why would you want to talk to the thing? Well, I laid hands on somebody that was sick. Nothing happened. How do you know? Well, because they still had the same problem. Well, how do you know nothing happened? Well, because nothing changed in their life. But how do you know nothing happened? Can you see everything? Do you know everything? No. See, we start drawing all these conclusions based on these little eyeballs we got, these little ears we got on the side of our head. Go back to what the Word of God says. You got the power. You touched them. Something happened. Hello? I said, you touched them, something happened. What are you going to do with that power? Sure, it takes some boldness. But there is something that will help you with this issue if you'll just embrace what I'm about to say to you. Now, walk through this with me. I want you to consider taking the same approach Jesus took one day when he uttered these words. This is John 14:10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. The next time you find yourself in a situation where you have the opportunity to help some person who is in need of healing or deliverance or something, approach it like this. Start here. Say to them, I believe that God is in me. That may end the conversation right there. That may be it. You may not get to go any further, but start right there. Why might I do that? It's what Jesus did. I'm in the Father. The Father's in me. So if Jesus started there, why don't you start there? I believe that God is in me. Jesus lives inside of me. The Bible says so. If they haven't run off by now, then ask this question. Do you believe that? I want you to take this seriously. I want you to do this. I'm saying follow Jesus, not because I said this, but this is what Jesus did. I'm in the Father, the Father's in me. That's as far as I've gotten in the verse so far. So you're telling this person, I believe that God is in me. Jesus lives on the inside of me. The Bible says so. Do you believe that? If their answer is no, then there is no point in you trying to go any further until and unless you can explain things to them so they can understand this. Too many people just jump right in and start trying to get somebody healed, trying to get somebody delivered, get somebody set free, trying to help change things in people's lives, and never stop to ask, do you believe that God is in me, working through me? And then cannot understand why they have so many failures in trying to help people. I'm just telling you, if they don't believe Jesus lives in you, then most likely nothing will happen when you lay hands on them. That's really good. I wish somebody had told me that a long time ago. Nobody ever taught me this. Frankly, I just started doing it years ago when I was traveling all the time, going so many places. I went to churches. I didn't know anybody. They just asked me to come, and I'd go. We went to a church in New York. Nothing, I'm just not bad-mouthing New York now. I just happened to be there. Okay, friend. But we're in this church, yeah. And it was, what, a four-day meeting? 4 or 5 day meeting? It seemed like a month. But I started on Sunday morning, and the associate pastor introduced me, and I thought, well, I guess the pastor's out of town. Went back Sunday night, and associate pastor just, okay, I guess he's still out of town. Monday night, he's still out of town. T- Tuesday, I said to this guy, where is the pastor? Is the pastor here? Is he on vacation? Where is the pastor? I have yet to meet the pastor. He said, he's been sitting on the back row all the time. Wow. Was I that bad? No, he was that strange. So I was going to all sorts of places. They asked me to come, I'd come. Asked me to hold a meeting, I'd hold a meeting. The very first seminar I ever held, I got a letter from a guy in Columbia, South Carolina. And he said, we've heard about you and heard that you're connected to Kenneth Hagin, and we'd like for you to come and hold a meeting for us. And so we wrote him, can you believe this? We wrote a letter back. No cell phones. We'll come. What's the date? We set a date. I go buy an airplane ticket. I fly to South Carolina. He picks me up in the car. I get in the car. We're driving around town. And he drives and he drives and he drives. And about the third time we passed the same buildings, I said, could you please tell me where we're going? He said, I'm driving around looking for a place to have the meeting. I said, excuse me, what did you say? He said, I'm looking for a place to have the meeting. I said, could you please explain exactly what that means? He said, well, we had a building reserved and they took it away from us and we can't have that building. And I just found that out this morning. And so we don't have a church or we don't have a place. We don't have a building to have the meeting. And so I'm just driving around praying, saying, Lord, show me where. And he said, we just drove by that Methodist church. I said, I know. I saw it three times. He said, I'm going home. I'm going to drop you off at the hotel. I'm going home and I'm going to call that pastor and see if we can use his church tonight. I said, fine with me. He said, I'll know where we're going to have the meeting whenever we come back to get you. That's what he said. My first seminar. So he comes back, picks me up. I said, well, just figure it out. Yeah, we're going to that Methodist church. I said, oh, I guess they're a charismatic church. They speak in tongues and they know, you know, we're Pentecostal. He said, no, they don't know that at all. I said, really? He said, yeah, I invited them all to come. My first seminar. I said, well, this will be fun. So we go to this Methodist church. We start on a Sunday night. It's a Sunday night through Wednesday night meeting. They all came. The pastor's wife. It was a small congregation. As I understand, they had about 35 people, including the pastor and his wife. By the time we got done Wednesday night, the pastor, his wife, all 35 members of the church, every one of them were speaking in tongues. All of them filled with the Holy Ghost. At some point along the way, they figured out Jesus was in me. We had a great time. I thought, well, I like this seminar thing. I don't care whether they got a building or not. I'll go. So I just went all over the place, preaching and teaching. But after a while, I started to figure out some people receive, some people don't. Wonder what the problem is. I know what the problem is. They don't believe I've got anything. So I went back to this verse. I am in the Father, the Father's in me. I got something. That's a good place to start. If you can get them that far, then continue with this. Now the words I'm about to say to you, these are not my words. I'm simply going to tell you what God has said. What am I doing? I'm following the pattern Jesus laid out. Then say to them, I'm going to lay my hands on you. And we're going to expect God to do what He said He would do. And then tell them, it's my part to lay my hands on you. It's God's part to keep His word. Do you understand that? And whatever happens when I lay hands on you, it'll be God the Father that does it, not me. This is the pattern Jesus has given to us. Use it and expect God to show up. See, I know that there are people here in this audience today, one that got somebody filled with the Holy Ghost this week. I want that to multiply. Another one that's had three people healed in the last just few weeks here, in restaurants, in places of business. There'll be more of it. I'm just carefully laying out the pattern. Here's what you do. Here's how you do it. You know, I think I've seen people do just about anything and everything you can imagine in the name of the Holy Ghost. I'm laying out something pretty simple to do because you're filled with the Holy Ghost and power. I've seen people shout, dance, jump, run, roll on the floor, fall out of their chairs, scream, holler, yell, laugh, get so drunk they couldn't stand up. Literally, I was in a service one time, and this guy said it was the Holy Ghost. This church had pews. Had pews, fixed pews, attached to the floor. He jumped up, got on one of the pews, and was jumping from the back of one pew to the next. Went all the way to the back of the auditorium and turned around and came back, yelling, "It's the Holy Ghost, it's the Holy Ghost, it's the Holy Ghost." None of that bothers me. As long as people do not get the idea, that's all there is to the Holy Ghost. I just believe in giving people the freedom, do whatever you want to do. Much of this is actually the physical and the emotional reaction we have to the power of the Holy Ghost. As long as you know that's what it is, it's okay. You're never going to freak me out. Ain't going to happen. People would jump up and run around the building. Okay, next time, try getting all the way around. It's okay with me. That really upsets some people, bothers people. Okay, I'm too old to be bothered. How's that? Here is a verse that expresses this very well. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels." Look at it now. "That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." What we have, or more correctly, who we have on the inside of us is a treasure. He is the third person of the Godhead who has come to dwell on the inside of us. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own, for you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Your body, your earthen vessel, is the residence of the Holy Ghost. That's true of every one of you. You all raised your hands a while ago that you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost. So wherever you go, the Holy Ghost goes. Yeah. Because He's resident in there. You sense the Holy Ghost in this place, in this physical building, the way you do, because there's so many people in this building all the time in whom the Holy Ghost is living. Well, why did God choose to put the Holy Ghost in us? Because any person who really knows us is fully aware we do not have the power and the ability to do the things we do. There must be more involved than it just us. Being that we're earthen vessels, human bodies in which the Holy Ghost resides, this does in fact help make it clear the excellency of the power of the Holy Ghost. It is the excellency of God's power they are witnessing and not our feeble ability. Always keep in mind, when you're in a service and you see different people reacting and responding to the Holy Ghost, it's not about them and about their reactions. It's about the power of the Holy Ghost. They are simply having a response, a reaction that's causing them to do the things that they're doing. Don't let that make you nervous. Not at all. On the day of Pentecost, we have this record of what happened. Acts 2, 1 through 4. "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." This power is so great, even the natural elements react to it in various ways. The Holy Ghost moved in on that place, and there was a sound from heaven, and there was a rushing mighty wind, and the air above their heads caught on fire. A fire that could be seen, but it did not burn them when it sat upon each of them. I read about that fire in another place, in the Bible. Only this time it wasn't on somebody's head. It was on a bush. Remember that story? Now those are awesome phenomena. But a short time later, the Holy Ghost turned up the power. If I can be allowed to speak like that. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. In both cases, they're all filled. But now, the building was shaking. And this is not the only time in history that's happened. So I'm just going to end it like this. God is turning up the power. He's turning up the power. You see this progression in the book of Acts. We got wind, we got noise, we got flames, we got a building shaking. Keep going in the book of Acts, and a jail gets shaken to bits. And all the prisoners are loose. Are you ready for what's coming? I said, are you ready for what's coming? Because I'm telling you, we're stepping into it more and 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 more. Yes, we are. Shefroki brandela bakosa. Mankarabolo ya sombre barakirati gahra. Lokreka lo sombre belekatara. You've heard about the power. You've witnessed the power. You've experienced the power. You've seen the power, but there's more power than what you're aware of. You've only seen the edges of it, only the beginning, but shongre ganti, romboruka, la shapra, rati elementore karayata, romborukotala, shapre ketatatara. Wait till you see the power flowing through you, demonstrating what I can do. Because if you'll obey, put your hands on those in need. My power will touch them as you touch them. And you'll see blind eyes open, deaf ears open, the dead raised, the lame will walk, and many will shout praise and glory to my name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's about the power. I heard the Lord say, there is a great power struggle going on in your land. It is this group against this group. It is this group against this group. It is this evil against this evil. It is this wrong against this wrong. And it has captured the attention of the media. This power struggle that is happening. They are fully unaware of the power that lies within my church. They are not conscious. They do not know of the power that resides in millions of Spirit-filled believers in this land. But they are going to become aware of it. They are going to know it. And they will realize how powerless they really are when they encounter my power, for I will change this country. I've said it, I've said it, I say it again, I will change this nation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, stand to your feet and give Him praise. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Father. Bless your holy name. Glory to the Father. Glory to the Father. We bless you, Lord. Oh, we magnify you. We glorify you today. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Bless the name of the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord.